Welcome to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up on the program, we'll talk with the author of a new report that says the state isn't doing as well as some economic indicators suggest. Plus, SDPB's Charles McElroy has a conversation with biodiversity expert Diana Wall of Colorado State University. She's receiving the Mines Medal from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology tomorrow. But first, it's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion of state political news with the Dakota Political Junkies. And joining us today are John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader, and Denise Ross, web editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic. John and Denise, thanks for coming back and joining us on Dakota Political Junkies.
Thanks, Carl. Glad to be with you, Carl.
Well, Congress adjourned and left Washington last week. No vote on the House bill, and this wasn't a big surprise. But do you think, John, the farm bill has much of a chance after the election?
It's possible. You know, there is some dispute as to how many votes are out there, but that can change if there's any lame duck House members that lose in November. They could very well decide one way or the other. So I think it's possible that they would have that in a lame duck session after the election.
Denise?
It sounds like John is following this a little more closely than I am. I think it probably will depend on the results of the election. I think if the Democrats make gains in Congress, you may see some movement on the farm bill. With Republicans in charge of the House and the ideological divide with some of those folks not appreciating farm subsidies, and then you've got some Democrats who are digging in over the cuts to food stamps, you might not be able to get anything through there if the Republicans maintain the lead that they have now.
Well, Congresswoman Kristi Noem was working rather hard before Congress adjourned to get the bill to the floor. Does this, Denise, help blunt some of the criticism from her opponent, Matt Verilek?
Well, I don't know that you can fault too much the individual efforts of Kristi Noem for this farm bill kind of unraveling. What they're doing is trying to point to her entire party, who is in charge of the House, who has the leadership, and who has the Tea Party as part of their coalition. And those are the folks that are really against a lot of federal subsidies, including farm subsidies, because their big mantra is to cut the deficit by cutting the budget. And that, I think, is going to depend on how big the voters' appetite is for that message from the Verilek campaign. You know, are they receptive to hearing that it's Christie's fault or it's her party's fault? And you know, if she loses, it may be out of her control. Although we did just have a story yesterday about a poll that shows her 9 points ahead. So that's a pretty comfortable lead for an incumbent, even in this tough environment that she's facing.
Yeah, that poll from the Nielsen brothers now has Kristi Noem ahead of Matt Verilek, 51-42%. In July, the same firm had a closer race, Noem leading about 47-45. John Hunter, do you think this poll is accurate?
Well, I've never placed as much faith in these polls as the statistics would indicate. In other words, they always say there's a variance here of 3% or something. I always thought the margin for error was larger than that. So, moving that distance, I'm not sure you can make a lot of conclusion. I think this one still could see a lot of shift in it. And it could go either way. It really, I think, depends on advertising down the stretch, what they focus on. You know, Matt Verilek has really focused on a couple of things. One, the farm bill, and yes, trying to pin that on. And I agree with Denise that it's not really her job to get the vote taken on that. And then also these, true or false, these missing meetings. Committee meetings and so forth, and there's some dispute about that, whether it's accurate or so forth. So I think, long answer to a short question, I think, is that you'll still see poll movements, and they may be more severe in the last few weeks.
So you think voters are still undecided in this race, or there's a certain percentage of voters, a significant percentage of voters that are still undecided?
Well, it appears to be, you know, in most of these races, they, because of the partisanship of these things, it appears as though most voters are making up their minds earlier. And the fact that we vote so much earlier now with absentee kinds of things, there are people who could vote 2 weeks before some big news or big debate or something happens late. But, you know, in the presidential election, there appear to be very few people who haven't decided, and there's a mad scramble to get them, and it seems like that might be happening in this race, too.
You mentioned the television ads. We were talking about the television ads. The political analysis website PolitiFact gave a new Kristi Noem ad a Pants on Fire award for saying in the ad she says that Washington bureaucrats essentially tried to prevent kids from doing farms and ranches. Denise or John, have you been following that PolitiFact claim?
They gave John Thune the same rating for the speech that he gave at the Republican National Convention, and I did a little bit of research. I can't claim that it's exhaustive, but you know, PolitiFact did say that that's patently false because the proposed rules would have allowed children to continue to do regular chores. But I think it's going to depend on what the definition of a regular chore is. I mean, if they're just talking about hauling water in a bucket or feed in a bucket, that's one thing. But if you talk about, you know, driving equipment, which a lot of farm kids do all summer long, that may be in a different category. And so I'm not, I posted something on our blog about soon getting that rating, but I'm not willing to point the finger quite as hard as PolitiFact is, because I think it's, the devil is going to be in the details of what those proposals are. And I just haven't done the research to say exactly what those are, but I suspect heavy machinery and operating equipment is not going to be something that the Department of Labor would want children doing much of.
John Hunter?
Well, Denise is correct that is the devil is in the details there. And I think when you have proposed rules like that, those can change. I mean, this is not something that's been passed. It's not something that's been enacted. And when you're getting proposed rules and people are trying as best they can to shape what those rules are, and whether it's regular chores. The Obama administration did say, however, that they wanted to get a closer match between farm regulations for children and non-farm regulations for children. As you know, it's much more strict in the manufacturing world, where you say you can't have children doing this and you can't have that. So by that very statement, it does appear as though that they want to limit a lot of things that children do on farms today in South Dakota. So I also wouldn't condemn them quite as much as the PolitiFact thing does. But it's a lot of it's speculation. I think people are, you know, taking positions in advance of what might happen here. And it doesn't surprise me that you would say something like that would draw attention to the issue so that they can be drafted and passed the way they want them.
Do you think these fact-checking websites and newspapers are doing a lot of these too? Do you think these all this fact-checking is helpful?
Well, I do. You know,
there's a lot of it.
You have to consider the source. I mean, if it's the Democratic National Committee doing a fact-checking of a Republican thing, or vice versa. It's not so. You do try to choose your sources, and if it's the Tampa Tribune or whoever, Tampa Bay Times, I guess, is the sponsor of the PolitiFact. But I think there are some good ones, and I just think you have to be really careful about which source you're looking at.
Denise, do you like following these fact checkers?
I think it's some of the most important work in journalism going on when it comes to political reporting, because voters do want to know, is what that politician said true? And those websites help people sort through all that. I've even had relatives come to me and ask, what's that website where I can go look this stuff up? People want to know if what they're hearing is accurate, because they know that spin is out there all the time.
In other news, earlier this week, State Senator Stan Edelstein is calling for Secretary of State Jason Gantz's resignation because he didn't put con statements on four proposed amendments to the state constitution on the fall ballot. John, have you been following this, and what are con statements?
Well, I haven't followed this particularly, but there's kind of two levels of this. One is on the ballot itself, where it has an explanation of this, too. But then there are times when either before the election or on the ballot when there would be, I guess, a further explanation. And you'd say people who are in favor of this say this would be a good law because of this, or those against it would say it would be a bad law because of this. And so that there are often criticisms of those explanations. It's usually, it seems like, if my memory serves me, are attacked at the Attorney General rather than the Secretary of State. So I haven't followed this one particularly. As you know, those two have been battling a little bit. So I don't know if that it stems from that or if it's something new.
Denise?
You know, here's what I know about it. I heard an interview with Dan Adelstein on the Rapid City radio station this morning while I was driving in my car. But I assume that what he says is accurate. And what he says is there are several ballot questions that only have the pro argument and no con. And he says state law requires the Secretary of State to include the con argument if, quote unquote, if one can be found. And Senator Adelstein is saying that he made floor speeches against one of these ballot measures, and there were legislators who voted against these things, and it would be pretty easy to find somebody to write up a statement for the ballot. I was shocked. I mean, I think I gasped when I heard that there were several of these ballot measures. The general ballot, election ballots have been printed, I understand, and that they don't include a con argument. And what Senator Adelstein said on the radio this morning was that there are some that don't have the Attorney General's explanation either, and I just can't imagine how that happens, if that's true. And again, all I know is what I heard Senator Adelstein say on the radio. I've been driving in my car all morning, but assuming that what he says is true, it's a pretty remarkable situation.
Well, we'll have to see how that plays out and what the details are there. Before we let you go, former Governor Mike Rounds announced that the formation of an exploratory committee recently for a possible run for Senate in 2014. And this week, Sanford Health announced that he's joining the company as an advisor. John, is there any connection to his run for governor, or is this just simply a way to help build up his resume for that run for governor, or not for governor, for Senate?
I think there's a little bit of parallel when Stephanie Herseth Sandlin took on the position at Raven. I think people look at this like, okay, you know, you're a kind of a politician by recognition, and is this a temporary job or a permanent job or what those things are? An advisor would kind of indicate that it would be a temporary thing. I mean, that's something that can come and go. You know, a staff attorney seems a little bit more permanent, but I thought Mike Rounds was heading directly toward that Senate run all the way, and so there was a little surprise to me that that's this deal that was announced.
Denise Ross, do you have any take on that?
You know, I agree with what John said, that it can be a temporary post, and it was just last week, I believe, or maybe the week before at the latest or the earliest, that Rounds formed his exploratory committee for a Senate run. He's been all signs of pointing to him running in 2014, and it will take a little more than this to persuade me that he's not going to do that.
Well, Denise, nice to talk with you. Thanks for joining us again on the Dakota Political Junkies.
Thank you, Carl.
And John, thanks for your time as well.
Thanks, Carl.
John Hunter is a publisher of the Madison Daily Leader, and Denise Ross is web editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic, and the Dakota Political Junkies are a regular Wednesday feature of Dakota Midday. Coming up next, we'll talk with Douglas Hall of the Economic Policy Institute. He's the author of a new report that shows South Dakota's low unemployment statistics don't necessarily reflect the state's true economic condition. Plus, a little bit later in the program, SDPB's Charles McElray has a conversation with biodiversity expert Diana Wall of Colorado State University. She's receiving the Mines Medal from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology tomorrow. I'm Carl Gerke, and you're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.